Thank you so very much, my dear. All right, well, welcome again. And as always, we do multiply in the dark, which is nice. I am, however, going to cause a little bit of chaos right now. So, you ready?
Sure.
Because it wouldn't be me without chaos, right? So, I think some of you snuck in this door, but everyone should have a white stone. They're in the back, so in the back on the table, if we can get somebody to help get them. So, well, no, yeah. There's a white stone, a card, a little paper, and an assessment, and a writing device. It's very complicated. So, they're going to help you get them. And while they do that, so that everybody's prepared for the ceremony, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what's going to go on this year, because I am so excited. I am so excited for this year. Last year, the Centers for Spiritual Living had a commitment to have churches around the world stand with the notion that we see and believe in a world that works for all. And this year, we are going to look at a values-based spiritual life. How to create a values-based spiritual life. And the statement is, we stand together in a shared commitment and devotion to our spiritual principles, practices, and values. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about how to create that values-based life. But as we go through this year, some of the fun stuff, we'll start out with the first few months looking at spiritual living and various aspects of that, and then we'll go in April. Actually, in April, what happens with this is that there's a minister, there are different ministers from around the movement who submit kind of an outline, and those ministers they choose, they can look at them, see if there's anything that touches their heart, some quotes, all kinds of different good things, and Reverend Karen is the one who submitted April 2nd, so it should be fun to be able to, actually for me, especially, but because I get to use these once a month, all these good things, so she's the one who submitted the April 2nd talk, and then we'll begin to look at values, accountability. Now, that's a primary one here in our movement is accountability, open communication, and then love at three different levels, because love is so multifaceted as a value that it's community, safety, in God's presence. I mean, there's so many aspects of it. And then we'll have financial health and prosperity, and then the last one in December will be integrity. So it's going to be a great year. Buckle up and get ready to have things soar. Because I really believe that when we stand from a place of aligning ourselves with our spiritual values, we align ourselves with the highest and best for us. We align ourselves with the highest and best for all. And when we do that, life absolutely takes off. Life changes in ways that we never could even imagine. So today I'm going to do just a little bit of a twist on the white stone ceremony. Every year I kind of rotate word stones, white stones, and then something, who knows what else. It's always a little different. So this year is a white stone, and the difference that I'm going to do this time is rather than just have a word bubble up for you, we're going to do a little work and have a value that really speaks to you that will be the word that's on your stone. So, and I have learned over the years that different values will guide different aspects of your life. But then there's one that kind of is the foundation. And so hopefully the one that you'll get to is the one that's the foundation. Because in this process then, actually with all of life, you know, the song was a beautiful, beautiful song. And one of the things that it's Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith is the author of the saying, pain pushes until the vision pulls. And over the time in my life, I have let pain push. And I have let vision pull. I'm telling you, vision pull is much, much more fun. So I have begun to learn that when there is pain, that I can stop and say, what's the vision that I'd like to have pull? So I'll invite you to consider that this year. And to do that, we have to do this pesky thing called listening. Listening to the still, small voice. Listening to that divine guidance that's within us. And that still, small voice is always calling us, always, always calling us to a greater expression of who we are. Always. And when we listen, we have a greater sense of presence and awareness, and we feel connection, wisdom, insight, understanding, and then we feel this sense of calm and peace and clarity. Listening to that still small voice is an extraordinary thing, and sometimes it requires that we really believe that God indeed does want the best for us, and that the universe will conspire to bring us our good, and that it is always manifesting as blessings in greater and greater ways, always. So there's a quote from Romans that I love, and that is the one that says, all things work together for good for those who love God. And then it goes on and it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so when you look at that, if you really look at that divine relationship, it is indeed what we teach. It is a power for good and only good. And it always, always, always offers us the opportunity for a greater sense of self-expression. And then my favorite Bible verse of all that I pull out at times like this is Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You will call on me and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And for me, that's just, a lot of times, you know, I'm grateful for this philosophy that doesn't believe that there's a power that's greater than us. It's really just looking for an opportunity to kick our butt. That instead, it really is to prosper us, not to harm us, the hope, the future. It is such a beautiful thing for me. And then the last part where it says, I will listen. So God puts in us our soul deep desires, but hears everything that we desire as well. So it's nice to know that listening is a two-way street. So there's a beautiful teacher named Adyasante, and he has a quote that I love. Truth is always speaking to us. The voice might be quiet, but it is ever present, guiding us to navigate the river of our lives with perfect intelligence. And for me, that perfect intelligence is that still small voice that's always, always calling. As we listen to our own inner voice, beyond the voice of doubt or fear, we hear the voice of God within us. And that, for me, is just a very, very beautiful thought. That voice, that still small voice, is indeed the God that is within us. It is always whispering to our soul over and over and over. It's just our job to listen and then act. That's sometimes the tough part. So sometimes for me, I don't know about you, but the still small voice is beautiful, it's soft, it's peaceful, it's quiet. And other times, it's loud. Now, my experience is when the voice gets loud, it's usually because I've been ignoring it. And it said, go here, it's good. Yeah, and you ignore it, and it gets a little louder. And you ignore it, and it gets a little louder. And I'm grateful to say that I have finally gotten to the point where I don't have to wait for disaster to strike. But there have been times in my life where it really has been a crazy that makes me stop and listen. And so very early in my time in Science of Mind, I learned to say, let this come to me in a happy, healthy way. Let this come to me with grace and ease. Because I have had things that weren't happy or healthy as I set an intention. Because when we set an intention here, or when we're here, we set an intention here, everything unlike that comes up to be healed. So it's nice if you say, happy, healthy way with grace and ease. And so that if you look, our soul deep desires, I really believe a soul deep desire is that which God puts in us. And it is indeed how God experiences the world through us, as us, in us. And a lot of times we want to ignore those soul deep desires, but I'm telling you that they are how God expresses through you. And a lot of times, Carolyn Mace said this, it just made me laugh. She said, how do I know when it's a still small voice and when it's just my mind yammering? And she said, usually when the voice tells me something and I go, that's just absurd. That's just absurd. Because very frequently, God lays before us something that is so huge, so magnificent, that the only way we can get there is to let go and trust. And so for me, I still at times go, that big, really seriously, God, what were you thinking? But over the years, I've learned to say, it's okay, just trust. So on to now the subject at hand, life as a value proposition. So a value proposition is really a business term, and it is about what benefit do you have from something. Businesses will have a value proposition that makes you want to have their product versus somebody else's product, or why you want something at all, a business or service. But there's a model that goes with it, which is what prompted me, and that is it's called value-focused enterprise model. And that means creating a value-focused enterprise requires a fundamental rethinking of the way things are organized and managed. And really, that's what having a values-based life is about. It gives us the opportunity to have our life reorganized and managed in a completely different way. And so in this process of looking at a business model that's a value-focused enterprise, it is to have strategic intent. So for us, that's intentions, the intention that we set at the beginning of the year. And then where do you intend the organization to be in the foreseeable future, and what principles will guide the journey? And that's the same for us. What principles will guide our journey? What values will hold us up? What values will light our way? And when we have that values-focused operating model, it always will achieve your intent. So it was interesting for me that something so business, so steeped in real business principle, is so applicable to have a new way of organizing and managing our life. So it's easy then to say, great, Sue, and so what? Well, I'll tell you that for me, there are three steps that are necessary to make that shift into a values-focused model. The first one is you have to identify and clarify your values. Now, sadly, many people aren't real clear on their values because we then are sort of subject to race mind, to race consciousness. And it is a part of what happens. So in this process of making clear, identifying and making clear our values, this is what Dr. Ken Gordon, who's the founder of, who is the president currently of our organization, what he says about this year: a value is an important lasting belief or idea that encapsulates what an individual or member of a culture holds to be good and desirable. Individual values influence our behavior and attitude and therefore serve as a basis for expression in all situations. A value exemplifies a person's principles and brings light and action into what the individual holds as being important in life. So that process is important to me because we have to look at not only what our values are, but there is there's something that Brené Brown identifies beautifully for me. She makes the definition or the distinction: there are aspirational values and practiced values. So aspirational values are the ones that could be in a couple of different ways. It could be those things that we really want to be, that really, you know, it's kind of like the posters that some businesses have, be all you can be, the Army says, you know, it's those great lofty things that sometimes really are not ours. And so to look at our values, we have to look and say, what's mine and what have I gotten from someone else because I think I should? From my mom, from my dad, from my preacher, from my teacher, from my culture. Because a lot of times that should is really not a value that aligns with us. And over the years I've found, I don't know if you've had this happen, but you set an intention and it just never happens, and you next year rolls around and you set it again and it just never happens. Well, what I've found is that when that happens, it is oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, someone else's good idea for you. So if you have a thought about what should be, then really allow yourself in this time to step back and to look. And then the other thing with aspirational values, once you've let go of those things that really don't serve you or support you, because there's someone else's good idea for you. And truthfully, as you look, maybe someone else's good idea for you is something that works for you. But then it's to really dig deep and say, what is important to me? What is important to me? Because the practiced values, which is then what comes after the aspirational value, is what we actually do. A practiced value is what we're saying, what we're thinking, the walking, the talking. And sometimes we don't live in alignment with our aspirational values because we let fear drive the bus, because we let some other type of powerful emotion, anger, or any form of aggression or sadness or sorrow, but something other than those qualities of God, that we let those drive the bus. And so we say, I want to have joy in my life. But then we do things that really are not things that draw joy into our life. Maybe because it's a habit. Maybe because we think we should be doing something. I have to tell you, I should do something. Big, big, big thing in my life, because I come from a family of shoulds. I mean, a big-time family of shoulds. I spent much of my life being Lee and Leona's daughter, and that had a very strict set of rules. And so it becomes a function of being willing to look at and let go of those places where you're doing something that isn't in alignment with the truth of who you are, that isn't in alignment with that which is really a part of your values. It's scary sometimes, and sometimes we are in relationships with people where they have an expectation that we'll behave a certain way, and when we start acting different, they get a little grumpy, right? Because we changed the rules of the game, and we didn't ask them, right? Because it's really not their business. It's our business. Because who chooses what happens?
I do.
I do. You do. That's right. Who chooses how we respond to what life presents us?
I do.
So in that process of looking at what really truly is your value, then it gives you the opportunity to look and say, this is what I'm doing. Does it move me toward or away from my soul's desire? And I learned, the lesson that I learned about how different values can affect different intentions or aspect of your life was a couple years ago when I started to lose weight. Because my word for that year was respect. And I had tried love, and I had tried peace, and I had tried kindness, and I had tried compassion. And none of those really prompted me to change my behavior. But respect in that area allowed me to say, does this action move me toward honoring my body or away? And that became a really easy question for me then in terms of my relationships. It was that triggered it for me. Then I could say, okay, if really love is a guiding value in a relationship, or compassion, does this statement or action move me toward more compassion or away? And for me, that's how that clarifying process and really identifying your values can then take effect. So there's, I don't know if any of you have been to England, to London, but in the Tube, they used to have signs, and they tell me, now I haven't been there for a long, long, long time, but they now apparently have a recorded message that comes out, and it tells you to mind the gap. And what that means is, you're standing on the platform, the train is here, mind that empty space between the two. So with values, minding the gap is to look at the difference between our aspired value and our practiced value. And I will tell you, for me, almost always, if I am not minding the gap and looking at the difference between my aspired and my lived values, pain happens. Pain happens frequently in the gap. And so it's really about That process of paying attention to the space between where we actually stand and where we want to be. And more importantly, we have to practice that. And then on top of that, we have to realize that it is not perfection. We will never be perfect. It is just having a commitment to stay engaged. There's a quote from the Science of Mind textbook that Ernest Holmes says, in demonstrating over conditions, that's wanting something higher and better than what's happening in your life now, the only inquiries we need to make are, do the things we want lend themselves to a constructive program? And two, do they express a more abundant life, rob no one, create no delusion, and express a greater degree of livingness? That's a mouthful. It is the Science of Mind textbook, page 188, paragraph 3. And then it goes on to say, if we are able to answer these questions affirmatively, then all the power of the universe is back of our program. Because there is nothing of God that causes, it is not a quality of God if it's causing harm to others. That's usually then a part of the story that we make up about why we need to do something or not. And then in This Thing Called You, which is such a gorgeous book, he says the desire you have to be something, to do something, is a mental echo in your mind of the spirit which already exists within you. Page 61 in paragraph 2. But it is an echo of the voice of God. And so that still small, sweet, sweet voice is the expression of itself through you. So in this process then, the next step, so you've identified your values and you're ready to rock and roll with them, right? So what do you need? If you know me very well, you know that the answer will always be commitment, right? You got to strike a deal that says, I'm in it. So I can only tell like 3 or 4 jokes in the whole world. But one of them is, in the instance of breakfast, those involved in the preparation of it, the creation of it, are both committed. There's eggs, there's bacon. Who's more committed, the chicken or the pig? Right? And so I used to work at a fabulous company called the Lem International Management. And we had a contract with Jaguar and Land Rover, and one of the EVPs there just changed his mind every 30 seconds. And so I told him that joke one day, and he began to then every once in a while go, okay, Sue, this is a pig commitment. I promise, this is a pig commitment. So when you make a commitment, ask yourself, is it a chicken commitment or a pig commitment? And the other thing, the quote that I mention all the time about commitment, it is the best quote in the world about commitment. It is from Gone with the Wind, one of the world's longest movies. Truly one of the world's longest movies. But at the end of the first act, right before intermission, everything's gone. Everything's been burned, everything's been ransacked, people have been killed. It is a disaster. There's no food, there's nothing left. And she stumbles outside and there is burning of Atlanta in the background. You can see that light of the fires. And she's hungry. And she notices some kind of a root vegetable, I don't know if it's a turnip or whatever, but she drops to the ground, she pulls it out, and she starts to eat this dirty piece of food because that's really all there was. And she stands up and she shakes her fist. And she says, as God is my witness, as God is my witness, they're never going to lick me. I am going to live through this, and when it is all over, I'll never be hungry again. As God is my witness, I will never be hungry again. No, nor any of my folk. If I have to lie, steal, cheat, or kill, as God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again. That's a big, big statement. Now, I suggest you don't lie, steal, cheat, and kill. In fact, I would ask that you don't lie, steal, cheat, and kill. But you get the point where she's saying, this is it, people. This is it. Nothing is standing in my way. nothing. So that's the second part of leading a values-based life. And the third part is don't give up. Don't give up. It's easy to want to give up. All of us are disheartened at times. All of us become frightened or angry. All of us really just let go. And so my thing I'll ask you to do is when you want to give up, when you become frightened or complacent, ask yourself, what will I do? What will I do? Chris, thank you very much. There's an incredible YouTube from a rabbi named Sharon Bruce. Absolutely astounding. It's a TED Talk about rejuvenating, revitalizing, and reclaiming religion. And she has four trends. She talks about wakefulness, hope, mightiness, and interconnectedness. And mightiness. In mightiness, she talks about at the end of the High Holy Days in one of the ceremonies where it's the only one where they truly prostrate themselves. She has her congregation stand up, hands up like this. I am strong. I am mighty. I am worthy. And I can't do everything, but I can do something. So what can I do? Listen. Listen. Always first listen. Always return to that soul-deep desire, and then look for your supporting value. That will allow you to step past. So, are you ready to look at how you can have a values-based life, about what your values are? So I'm going to ask you, this is, like I said, a spin on the White Stone Ceremony. White Stone Ceremony is created by Reverend David Williamson, a Unity pastor, and it's based on a passage in Revelation. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying. To everyone who conquers, or sometimes, depending on the translation, victorious or overcomes, I will give the hidden manna to eat. I will give a white stone. On the white stone, a new name that no one knows is given. So in the biblical times of Jesus, when someone had been enslaved or imprisoned, when they were released, they got a white stone. That's their get out of jail. That shows that they have been absolved, that they've done their time, that they're free. And then you're allowed to pick a new name. And so for me, that white stone ceremony is about saying, What do I want? What am I allowing of God to come out through me? So I'm going to ask you to look at your stone, to hold it in your hand, and really look at it. It's Jerusalem stone. It's a gorgeous piece of stone. See that within it is a representation of you. And by the time we're done, we're going to ask you to write a word on it. So what I'd like you to take a minute to do is to look at the list of values that I gave you. And I know some of us are just get really obsessive compulsive. Just really allow yourself to have a quick response. Just take a look at those values and pick the ones that speak most strongly to your heart. And for me, I'm always amazed. They pretty much stay consistent, but they will change in order of importance to me. So just take a moment and allow yourself to see, put a little check mark, or circle them, or whatever works for you. Look and ask yourself, what's important to me? What do I want to demonstrate in my life? What do I want to stand on and behind? What's important? Whether it's accountability, creativity, generosity, honesty, hope, humor, nature, family, service, serenity. They're all there. Wisdom, spirituality, and your relationship with the divine. Tradition. So as you've looked at them, begin to contemplate which would be the top four or five for you. And give me a little 1, 2, 3, 4, sort of number them. And like I said, you can take this home and do a lot of work on it later, but just allow yourself right now to let the divine spark in you and bring up those top ones for you. And then, once you have that list, and you think you know what's the most important and how they go, I'm going to ask you to look at them and say, if you had to drop one completely off the list, which of those top ones would it be? It's hard, huh? Because these are important things. So you have to drop one off. Now I'm going to ask you to do it again, out of the ones that are left. Scratch off another one, and you only get to keep the ones that are left for you to stand on. And depending on how many you have, begin to look and say, really, what's the most important? And take them away one by one until you end up with that one. And that will be the one that really is the foundation, most likely for you, for this year at the very least. And allow yourself to just steep in that a little bit. Does that feel right for you, that value that sort of bubbled up to the surface for you? And if it does, allow yourself to take colored pen, or if you got one, or you can write on it with pencil or whatever you have and then fill it in with a better pen later. But write that word on there. And if one hasn't come up for you, if this is too fast and too muddled, allow yourself to go home and really look at those values, contemplate them, and go deeply within and say, what is important to me? And if I could be fierce for just one of them, if I ultimately had to pick just one, and it would change then everything else. All of the others that were below it would fall in line. What would that be? And I would ask you to notice how your personality self has already got things identified. It has, you know, sort of a whole row of things that it should or shouldn't be. Just allow yourself to listen to that still small voice within. And as you think about that, think about Rabbi Bruce. I am strong. I am mighty. I am worthy. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what you do can be, if you stand on that value, your life will be blessed. Imagine if your only job this year was to listen. Your only job was to listen and stand on the value that it represents. Because when we stand in that practiced, lived value, our life, God blesses us in ways that we can't even imagine. So that's the marching orders for the year, folks. Take time to listen. Every day, take time to listen. And as you move forward in life, ask yourself that question, does this move me toward living a life, a values-based life, or away from it? Does this help me stand in alignment with how I want to be or not? And that simple questioning process can make a great deal of difference. So there is also something on the back over at the little prayer table. There is, because I go through this every year, it's the Covenant with Universal Mind, and it has different areas of your life where you can just write some intentions down. And I will tell you, it's really great for me to do that because I can then look back at it. Every year as I do this, every year as I get ready for this day, for last night and this day, I have already done that work for me. And I have done the values assessment, and I have gone in and looked at my intentions for myself and my intentions for the world. I would also ask you all to stand with an intention for the world. Stand with an intention for the world. whether it's more peace, more love, more joy, more happiness, harmony, compassion, whatever. Allow yourself to find some aspect of the divine that you're willing to take a stand for. That regardless of what happens or doesn't happen, whether we think what happens is good or whether we think what happens is not good. Because we've just gone through a very, very, very divisive time. And it's now time for us to take a stand for the greatest good for all concerned. And to not necessarily worry about how that will happen. Because how is God's job? It's my job to simply stand in my value, to stand in my intention. So feel free to pick one of those up, and I will say Happy New Year. All right, so let's anchor this in prayer. So if you'll just allow yourself to relax, to let go, to allow that energy of God to flow into you, flow through you, function as you. Chatter of all the busyness of life to fall away, and all that's left is that calm, sweet, beautiful voice of God that dwells within you, that functions as you, that experiences life through you. And ask yourself, what kind of a year do I want to have God experience through me? To allow into my life. How much good am I willing to receive? Thank you. I release these words into that exquisite, beautiful synchronicity of love and law. Always says yes. We got to stop here because we got other things to do. So, it's time for giving and receiving. So, do we have someone who's helping? Yes, we do.